kind of crazy to think that the Dolphins have to be on the field tomorrow night for Thursday Night Football, considering the week they've had. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
We need more time to digest what happened over the weekend before the game. To have another game is always crazy. You know, guys have to recover. But what about us as the media and fans?
Well, the Dolphins played that day, but you're still a little shell-shocked. It's opener. Tyreek Hill, and of course, we're talking about after his arrest, the body cam footage comes out. Now you got a back and forth between Hill's camp and the police officer. Hill's camp saying that the officer who escalated things should be fired. The police officer's lawyer saying he should be reinstated. He's, in like sort of desk duty or what have you, and actually been put on administrative leave for one officer who escalated things. And you've got this sort of back and forth. You got the city of Miami involved. You got the NFL involved, the Dolphins. Your head coach is making these, you know, emotional statements, and everyone seems to be very much affected by this, Perloff, not just Tyreek Hill, but I think I would guess most of his teammates, especially the black teammates, his black teammates who, you know, could easily put themselves in his shoes of having an arrest like this kind of go sideways. I imagine it's been emotional for everyone on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I do wonder if professional athletes can compartmentalize it based on the fact that Tyreek went out after that whole incident and just was dominant again. I mean, like, obviously Tyreek doesn't seem to be affected, which is bizarre to me. Like, how these guys can, how Tyreek Hill could go out there and play like that, it's pretty amazing. So I'm not sure.
Well, it's like Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler shot like 200. I don't get it.
But what happened with Scheffler? So Scotty Scheffler gets arrested, this bizarre, you know, early morning arrest before the PGA Championship, and he actually shot a good round. And he wasn't, by the way, he wasn't handcuffed and taken to the ground. He was definitely taken to the jail and mugshotted and all that, but he wasn't like forcefully taken to the ground. Is a little bit different, but it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it was a huge event before he was about to compete. I think they're pretty analogous.
Without a doubt. Yeah. So, but he goes out and has a good round, and then it was the next day. It was sort of like this delayed hangover. I think you're kind of in just sort of, all right, I just got to get through this mode. And then as things sort of flood and kind of you have time to digest it a little bit, then you get a little bit of a delayed hangover. And I wonder if that happens tomorrow. Now,
well, I mean, Scotty Scheffler, for all we really have not been able to prove that he's not an actual robot. So who knows what is it? He might have just played the tournament he was going to play.
Yeah.
So I'm curious too, Tyreek Hill. I just how you can have that happen to you and then just play as if nothing happened. These guys are really like, I think that their brains operate differently come once that whistle goes. So I'm not sure like what effect, the fact that this game is so soon, what impact does that have? Like, I wonder, are the Dolphins going to be distracted? That's a big question. Mm-hmm. Looking at that game, if I have to pick this game, are the Dolphins going to be distracted or galvanized? I think it's a hard thing to call.
Well, it's impossible, but if you're asking me to guess, I would guess galvanized. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if this actually kind of lasts more than just this week in a very important matchup against Buffalo on Thursday night. I think that this could be, like, we always wonder about the Dolphins. Like, what's the one thing that's missing from this team? You know, you've had other people comment about, are they soft? You know, when it gets cold out, they kind of can't handle the weather and the elements. And there's just, like, an idea that this team kind of is finesse and lacks toughness, right? And that it's like all about the offense, and Mike McDaniel is sort of like wizard of offense, right? But when push comes to shove, can they be tough enough? And you said that athletes have a way of compartmentalizing. You're right. They also have a way of sort of rallying around each other, an issue, an event. Like, they're always, I think athletes are always looking for extra chip on the shoulder, extra motivation, something that makes the season feel different from years past. Now, this is not in a good way by any stretch, but this is something that certainly feels different. And I absolutely think that Tyreek Hill's teammates, without a doubt, are supporting him here, at least the ones who are being very vocal. And I wonder if this is, again, becomes something that is a rallying cry for them and maybe brings them a little bit closer and tighter as a team.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that really been the Dolphins not being tough? You're right. I think it's the uniforms. But, you know, they had the toughest coach in the league in Flores for a while. Like, they were not, I think that when Flores was there, I don't think the defense and the offense got along at all. I think that was a huge problem. But also, too, they're built kind of skinny. You know, they're built finesse. Like, Tua is one of the smaller quarterbacks in the NFL. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are tiny. I don't buy that. And even the cold game against Kansas City, they gutted it out. I mean, they were trying as hard as they could. They had, their whole team was injured, so they had no chance. The big problem with the Dolphins is not toughness, it's injuries. which is a bigger problem. Obviously, like, they have all these older, brittle players. Like,
do you have any faith that Tua can go into a cold weather game? No. Not 30 below. I'm saying, can he go into a day when it's 30 degrees with wind that makes it feel like 20?
I do have faith that Tua can do that. But I look at the way this team is built. There's no way they're going to last the season. They just have all these 30-year-old players who are hurt all the time. Every day, look at their injury report at any given day. There's a queue next to every single player, even this week.
They extended Jalen Ramsey. This is by design, dude.
Jalen Ramsey is hurt all the time. No one knew if he was going to play on Sunday. Jalen Ramsey's about to turn 30. Tyreek Hill's 30 or 31. Like, they're all old, and they're all Tyreek Hill. Yes, he looks great. He looked great week one. One takeaway, everyone's like, oh, you had knee surgery. Like, these guys are old. They build a team.
Well, Jalen Waddle's not old.
Yeah, but generally, most of the guys are like, a lot of their key players are old and injury prone. They built the team that way. They're taking risk. They're like, man, we got to do it now. So we're going to bring in these older players. So I think that they always set themselves up for their own problems. Like, When you're paying Jalen Ramsey a lot, he's a 30-year-old cornerback. You're very vulnerable to injuries. You just know that. You're a Bills fan too. You see the same darn thing. Like, this is a war of attrition in that AFC East. Very competitive, but I see the Dolphins as being great early in the season, then being hurt later in the season. Is that a reasonable view?
Well, I mean, yeah, because you've seen it, and that's how their season kind of went last year. But they were still battling for the division up until the final game of the season. They could have, if they had just beaten Buffalo at home at the end of the year, they're winning the AFC East, and maybe we're talking about this in a totally different way.
How is that possible? They lost so many key defensive players. There's no way they could have won in the playoffs.
Well, they built up a lead, though, that kind of, and they built up wins early in the season, and then so when adversity hit later, they were just sort of hanging on, but they were still squarely in the mix. And, you know, you got to go to Kansas City to play a game in 30 below. And I've told you, I didn't even think they should have played that game. I thought they should have moved it. The conditions were way too extreme. But if we're talking about Tyreek Hill and his arrest and the body cam footage that's come out and how he's now been on CNN, he was, I think, on NBC. Right. He's sort of making the rounds here. He wants to use his platform as a famous person to like call attention to make change between police and the community. This is not something I think that he wants to let go. I don't think he's going to sue the police, but he wants to keep this front of mind. And so does it become something that sort of galvanizes the team, brings them together? And we're always wondering, what is that missing thing? And maybe this could be it.
I don't see it.
Just rallying around a teammate.
Yeah, first of all, you mentioned that all the great teams have bulletin board material. What about the other 31 teams? Don't you think they're coming up with things?
One's kind of extreme.
Yeah, I just don't see, like, they're going to have some emotional edge throughout the rest of the season because of this incident. Because all these teams are all getting amped up over who knows what. I like that theory. It's really good. But if I'm going to pick the Super Bowl, like, first of all, there's a couple things. The AFC is so loaded right now. Do you know how good you have to be to get out of that conference? You
no,
have
I know.
Patrick Mahomes sitting there. You have Lamar Jackson sitting there. I don't care if they rally. And this is just such a hard assignment for the Dolphins. I think they're a very good team. Because what I'm hearing from you is that this galvanized could be the missing thing and take them over the top. I think that's such a hard climb for the Miami Dolphins to get over the top, especially in the AFC.
Okay.
I just don't see that happening.
I mean, but getting over the top, they haven't won a playoff game since 2000.
Can
run here.
Winning a playoff game in the AFC is going to be really hard this year. I don't even see that happening.
855-212-4227. You are welcome to weigh in on Tyreek Hill. Could this be a galvanizing moment? I mean, his teammates are rallying. I think seeing Calais Campbell in handcuffs was a rallying moment because Calais Campbell, you know, Tyreek Hill's an imperfect messenger. We all know that, right? And it doesn't mean something egregious didn't happen to him during that arrest, but he's not exactly Mr. Nice Guy. You know, there's a lot to Tyreek Hill. He's a very complicated and polarizing person when you dig into his background. Calais Campbell is 100% approval rating. Walter Payton Man of the Year. Yeah. Dude has played on a lot of different teams. Everywhere he goes, people love him. Seeing him in handcuffs for doing nothing. He didn't cease and desist, but he was standing there. Like, he was not a threat at all. Just see him in handcuffs. And Jonnu Smith, I just don't know if people know him well enough, but Calais Campbell's been around for a long time. People in the media, we see Calais Campbell a lot. He's out there. He does interviews. He's on Radio Row. He's very well-known guy, and he is has a reputation that is sterling. So
yeah,
for
but
him
he just got there, though. I mean, can he really be a rallying point for the team? I mean,
I think that's what leaders do.
I mean, a lot of people probably didn't even know that he was there until this arrest happened, because he wasn't there last year. And Jonnu Smith is hard to keep track of because that guy's moving around like crazy, too. The other thing, too, you mentioned galvanizing moment. This is early in the season. Is this going to last through the till the end? Maybe there's a bump. I like your theory. It makes a lot of sense. I just, if I'm looking at the AFC picture, like, this is not enough. This is just not enough for Miami, and that's the story of this current version of the Miami Dolphins. They're just not enough.
Yeah, I mean, the team has come to Tyreek Hill's defense, no questions asked, right away, supporting their player. No, we're going to wait and see, like the NFL is doing. This is 100% coming and having his back. I want to get EJ in on this early. EJ, we can't see you. He's not there. Laptop difficulties. No, he is here.
I'm here.
EJ, we can't see you right now, but we can hear you.
What's up?
How you doing?
Doing great.
What do you think of my theory that this could be a rallying cry for the Miami Dolphins, but supporting a teammates who were involved in this arrest on Sunday?
I mean, I definitely think for the early part of the season, I can maybe see that. I think what is a possible issue for the Dolphins is how early in the season this is and how exhausting this may become. Because this is a team that has chosen to make this a beyond 1 week kind of story. Like, you have options in the situation. You can either say, hey, we're going to take care of this in court and we'll move on, or we're going to really talk about this and make this a larger issue. Tyreek Hill decided to make it a larger issue. Drew Rosenhaus decided to make it a larger issue. And those Miami Dolphins players, the coaches, Mike McDaniel was very emotional talking about it this week. They made a statement. You get the impression that this is not going to be a situation where we're going to talk about this for 1 or 2 days and then be done with it. I would just worry for the Dolphins, similar to in a different situation, a little more serious, to the Buffalo Bills and some of the things that they have been through off the field. They had a season where you had, you know, the racist shooting in Buffalo, the supermarket. You had the snowstorm, and of course, DeMar Hamlin. I wonder if a team like that already has issues with kind of staying focused, if they can really use this in a positive way for the next 17 weeks plus the playoffs. Like Perloff said, I don't know if that's going to be enough, but I do know that this is an issue that these players really care about. So I do think that you may see them really kind of rally around Tyreek Hill and particularly this team for these early weeks. It's going to be hard, though, to see that what happened here is going to help them catapult over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. I'll say one thing about that, you know, and I've been in this industry a long time. In the heat of a scandal, things feel like they're going to last a long time. Mm. And then 3 weeks later, you're like, wait, what happened? I agree. EJ, I agree with your point. Like, the timing is like, can you really see this carrying over the playoffs? There's going to be so much actual football drama, and Tyreek Hill is going to go through a lot just physically through the season. I don't see this being an issue by wild card time, which is what we're talking about with the Dolphins. Like, yeah, they were really good at the beginning of last year. They were awesome. Maybe one of the best teams in the conference. But the question is, like, you put it perfectly. Can they win a playoff game?
Right.
I just feel like it's just too far from now.
855-212-4227. Maybe we can throw a poll question up on this. It doesn't seem too indelicate, but do you think that this could be a rallying cry and, you know, something that really brings the team together?
Forget Tyreek Hill for 1 second. I feel like there's a major difference on how we view the Dolphins. And they're always
tale as old as time, because you and I cannot agree on the Dolphins.
It's more than that, too. I wonder if the negativity you have towards the Buffalo Bills, negativity in the sense that you feel like that the foes are always going to be at the door of the Bills. I feel like you think the Jets and the Dolphins are world beaters every time. You're like, oh, we're
Did you see New England's defense? I mean, let's start getting panicked about that.
Yeah. So you're always talking about the
Those
Dolphins.
Those guys are good.
Look what they did
to Joe Burrow.
You're rational about 7 divisions, Maggie. about 7 divisions. But then you look at mine. Well, I mean, this is basically the 72 Dolphins all over again. If they lose a game, I'll be shocked.
Where's Mercury Morris with the champagne?
Even though they won by a miracle on Sunday at home against a sub-500 Jags team. Like, I just feel like there's something I just don't understand.
They made a good defensive play at the goal line. I mean, made their own luck in that game.
Get out of here. They got lucky to win that game. Wait, I mean, I'm not sure what you see. Don't you see them as old and injury prone and like kind of like there's no way this is all going to come together?
Listen, they're 1-0, baby.
Name a player on that team who's not going to be hurt. by the way, as a fantasy owner, like, nobody knows what's happening with Achane and Mostert already, and we're 1 week in. that, like, who knows if they're going to play on Thursday? Who knows if Jalen Ramsey's going to play on a given week? Who knows what's going on with Jalen Phillips? Teron Armstead hasn't played more than 9 games in a season ever. Like, they just do not have, they're just not durable. So I'm not scared. I'm picking the Bills in this. I did pick the Jets, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm changing. I'm picking the Bills. I'm going to ride
change.
With, I'm riding
you can't
with,
change all right, after won't the first change, week.
But I'm riding with your Bills. I think I should be the Bills fan because you are just, you're scared.
You're not
You're scared
welcome.
Of all these teams, and you win the division every year. Every year.
Well, not every year, the last four. You're not welcome. Because you are such a bandwagoner.
I'm not even like being...
It's not, you're like, the wagon's closed.
But we're the Maggie and Perloff show. Someone has to have clear eyes about what's actually happening in the AFC East, not these Bills-colored glasses.
It's not Bills-colored glasses. They lose in Miami in September. This happens, yeah. Like, it's division games. This happens all the time. You get worried when your Eagles go face the Commanders, and do I tell you, hey, Perloff, relax. You don't. You do the same thing with the Eagles. It's
maybe
because you know the opponent really well, and you've been burned by them before.
Maybe you should just change your whole attitude. And no, and
why am I the one who always has to change?
I'm not saying like you have to change your attitude because there's something wrong with your attitude. Oh. I'm like, why don't you try coming into the season being overly positive and be just like, the Bills are going to kill it. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Try it totally differently.
No.
Because it hasn't worked the other way, Maggie. Your fandom, which determines everything that will happen on the field, yeah. Where you're watching the game, no. Where you're standing. Why don't you say, we're going to win it all this year. Nobody can stop us. Maybe trying something different will work.
Well, I mean, we've got to get a number one receiver first. But here's the thing. I have no stress on the season.
You lowered your expectations.
Because the tarot card reader.
Okay.
Angela, the tarot card reader, came into this studio. She put her mat down. She pulled the cards. I asked if the Bills were going to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. She pulled the first card and just said, no. I mean, I had my answer right there. I'm not going to mess with the cards, with fate, with all of that stuff. I'm good.
Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers throws one touchdown and you're like, well, get the Lombardi out the jersey. The Jets are basically better than Joe Namath's Jets. Just would you support your team?
I do support my team. I'm the biggest supporter. I got my Bills corner here. I got all my stuff.
No, of course. No. I didn't mean it by that.
Sully gave me a Jim Kelly signed jersey or signed a football. I've got all my things. But
what if we had a bet where the stakes were you had to say nothing but positive, optimistic, even overly optimistic things about the Bills? Say like,
no, I'm not going to lie to the audience. This is, no, we're in the truth-telling business. What,
can you say, I think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this year? Like, could those words ever come out of your mouth?
No. No. Why would I do that?
Why?
They
why
barely
can't you say
beat
that?
The Arizona Cardinals in week one. You got a lot to clean up. And you got a short week. And you got a team that might be playing for something much bigger than themselves. And that's really where the conversation starts today. It's around the Miami Dolphins. What a crazy week this is. And that's maybe an understatement. And how's this going to play out on the field tomorrow and throughout the season? I'm not going to fall into your traps, Perloff. Mr. Bandwagon. Jump off. It's like you're playing double dutch.
First of all, can we just talk about the idiots on the other side of the glass wearing their Giants gear? What is going on today?
Did you guys lose a bet?
Yeah, what's going on?
No, we both planned it. We talked about it.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Our Giants.
Oh, you guys actually called each other this morning and wore similar outfits?
It's like the world's lamest army. Sorry, guys. It's like, because you're matching and you're...
Misery loves company. So
you kind of stormed in here, but you're wearing Giants stuff.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Yeah.
The bar feels low.
We still support our team no matter what.
Well, that's a good way to be. That's a great way to be. Give me a long season. 855-212-4227. But that's happened before. We've all been there. Tyreek Hill, the Dolphins, and you. 855-212-4227. We also have to play a little game we call Do You Believe It? We'll do that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. A lot to break down from week one, but week two is coming at us like a freight train, Maggie. So I think we got to kind of go over a few of the things that are left over from Sunday.
Absolutely. And of all the teams to be playing Thursday night, the Dolphins, yeah, who've had the craziest week with Tyreek Hill and the incident before the game on Sunday, they're right back up hosting a game against Buffalo. Yeah,
and also
tough.
Too, they again, like they're always injured. They have a lot of injuries too. Like, it's hard to do the quick turnaround. So I wonder if that's going to affect them too. Not only are they dealing with all these mental things, emotional things, but they have a lot of physical things going on there. Thursday Night Football, not ideal, not the ideal product of football, but we'll all watch.
You know what? It just dawned on me. We get Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit again.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
Al Michaels, who'd rather be anywhere. But yeah,
so
calling a bad game.
You mean that means it's going to be a bad game?
Well, I mean, he got a couple better ones, I think, last year. Did he?
It's been a struggle, as I recall.
Get Al Michaels. At least he gets to be in Miami.
It's not his fault. I mean, yeah.
No, it's definitely not his fault, but we're all the ones who have to sit there while Al Michaels would rather be sitting at an Italian restaurant.
Just to be clear, we're Al Michaels fans. It's just saying he's happened to have some bad games on Thursday nights.
Maybe AI Al Michaels can just call the game.
That's not funny. You know I don't like that AI Al Michaels. I have a major issue with that AI character.
You do. Can't replace us, though. Nothing can. EJ, let's play a little game called Do You Believe It? Throw out a couple things from week one. We'll tell you whether it's actually here to stay or this was just a flash in the pan. Go ahead.
All right. So let's begin in New Orleans with Derek Carr threw 3 touchdowns and the Saints 37-point win over the Panthers. Do you believe Derek Carr will be playing like this for the rest of the season?
I believe in Derek Carr. I said it. Look at the end of last season. I'm pulling up his stats. His last 4 games, he had a passer rating of 134, 106, 111, 145. Derek Carr gets on heaters. That is Derek Carr's thing. Now, the schedule gets a lot harder, obviously, at the Panthers, who stink week one, and they're probably going against a hot Cowboys defense. Maybe this game is not his best game, but I feel like Derek Carr, when he's healthy and that line is healthy, he could go on a little bit of a heater. Very accurate passer. The Bermuda Triangle of passing evaluation.
Yeah, I know, because one ball's going to get lost in the middle of nowhere, and it's going to come down in the defender's hands. And
I think that's
going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. I think you get a real fall comeback to what I think this Saints team actually is, which I think is pretty mediocre despite some of the nice weapons that they have. Dallas is going to be a big step up in weight class. It's in Dallas. I do not believe that Derek Carr will be able to keep this up.
By the way, they have Philly the following week. He will torch the Eagles. He always torches the Eagles. He will go for 400 yards against Philly. But anyway.
And I'm the alarmist about my team. Derek Carr, the Bermuda Triangle, is going to torch you for 400 yards.
I could throw for 350 against that Eagles secondary. Please, sorry.
Pot meat kettle. EJ, who's next?
Okay, let's go to the guys in the back of the in the glass, behind the glass. Their team, New York Giants, lost 22 points to the Vikings. Do you believe it that they'll be this bad for the rest of the season?
Yes. And Bogus is here too. Let's not forget him. Another Giants fan. Sorry about that, Bogus.
No, things are good, I was told yesterday. Not a big deal.
Now, here's the silver lining for the Giants. The one team that Daniel Jones has been able to consistently beat in his inconsistent career is the Washington Commanders. Now, this is going to be the exact fool's gold that you're going to need to get back slightly, kick the door back in on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. It's really the only team he can possibly beat. And, you know, Jaden Daniels still a rookie quarterback. The defense for Washington is terrible. So I could see a slight bump this week where you beat the Commanders, but then the rest of the season outside of games versus Washington, I think, are going to be humbling.
This might be unpolitically correct, but I feel like John Mara should come down and Nancy Kerrigan style take out Daniel Jones' knees because they cannot afford wins here. This is a desperate situation. They better
John
tank.
John Mara would do
they
that.
Better tank. Well, he's just going to kind of come down there and a three-quarter zip.
Yeah,
the vest, right, looking like he's right off Wall Street. They have to get into the top 3 or 4 for a quarterback. I mean, there's no doubt. Losing is a major priority, and I think they have what it takes. And also, they have all these good defensive linemen who did not show up at all in week one. I wonder if they're going to show up in week two and again ruin the tank.
The tank is on. Last one, EJ, before we get to Bogus's update.
Yes, last one. Also, by the way, get in the jam for Cam. That's my push to get Cam Ward to the Giants. Last one. Baker Mayfield threw 4 touchdowns on an absolute heater against the Washington Commanders on Sunday. Do you believe Baker Mayfield will be a superstar this season?
I want to believe it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Baker Mayfield has mastered the universe. This one doesn't even belong there. Did you see him on Sunday? Like, he's got it figured out.
Well, again, against the Commanders defense, which stink, and we just said that Daniel Jones could probably beat him next week. They're melting down in Cleveland. They want Baker Mayfield back. It's a full-on disaster. Again, step up in weight class here, where you are going to be now on the road to face the Lions. Now, the Lions offense, I thought, not exactly midseason form, but the defense was all up in Stafford's face. Now, Stafford is a good enough quarterback that he was still able to get the ball out. I think that Baker's going to have trouble. I think this is a comeback down-to-earth moment. I don't think Baker's going to have this stellar performance. Detroit's a touchdown favorite in this game. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, because Tampa Bay was hot and cold last year. Remember?
They played them close, though, in Detroit in the playoffs last year. So to be a touchdown favorite, I thought was a little rich, but That's what they think of what Baker can do.
You know what I liked about the Bucs? The fact that Mike Evans does not age. That is very clear. And they have this kid out of Washington, Jalen McMillan. They raved about him all preseason. Then he only had one catch, but he was just missed two long touchdowns. Tampa Bay is spicier than I thought. Like, he's got weapons there, so I think he's going to have a pretty good year.
So I wanted Tampa Bay to win the division. I really tried before we did our predictions, but then I went through and did win-loss, Mike and the Mad Dog style, on all these teams. I just couldn't get there because they've got the first-place schedule.
But like, you only have to get to 9, though. I'm serious. Like,
you think Atlanta could be very good, but Kirk Cousins' early returns were not great.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's always a battle between 7, 8, and 9 wins. It's been that way for 4 years. Yeah. That's a great point about that schedule, but you only need to get to 9. That is the target.
It's a little harder than you think with the Bucks. Okay. This is not an easy one for them. All right, that's a little Do You Believe It, wrapping some things up from Sunday. Andrew Bogish is here. What's up, folks?
Good morning, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. How about them fighting Phils? It started early last night against the Marlins.
In his second big league season, his 1-0 on the way. And it swung on, hit in the air, right center field, up the alley. Looking up is DeLuca, and that is it. It's gone. It's a record breaker. Kyle Schwarber with his 14th leadoff home run this season. An all-time major league best.
Scott Fransky on Phil's radio. Schwarber surpassing the 13 leadoff homers that Alfonso Soriano hit for the Yankees back in 2003. But he did leave this game with a hyperextended elbow in the fourth inning. We fast forward to the eighth when the remaining Phils jumped on Miami reliever Edwin Uceda, who then apparently had a frustration, plunked Nick Castellanos.
Oh, Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. Dusty Wathan comes over with Brandon Marsh to move Harper away.
No punches thrown then, but Castellanos landed a pretty good one post-game.
You're throwing a baseball over 90 miles an hour, and you're frustrated, and you're going to throw at somebody. You know, that's like my 2-year-old throwing a fit because I take away his dessert before he's finished.
Oh, what a monster. Sorry. That was not the right reaction to that cut, but there's no way you're taking away a dessert from a kid before he's done. I mean, you should call Child Protective Services
about that.
I mean, I'd throw at him just for that. I feel bad for the kid. Anyway, can we, like, what is Nick Castellanos? He's like a...
He's a jerk to the post-game people. Like, it's funny as heck.
He's having this really wild, like, end of the summer where all of a sudden it feels like he's in the middle of every single thing that happens with this Philadelphia Phillies team.
Yeah, and
is he the leader of the team?
Well, he's a go-to interview because I think ESPN likes him. And, you know, ESPN keeps putting the Phillies... I know last night was on the ESPN game, but they keep going to him. Like, they're trying to make this, like, him controversial Nick Castellanos a thing. I don't know. I rip him all the time, and now he gets all these clutch hits.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, he's, like, one of the most important people on the team.
Well, yeah, but he's a hot and cold player, right? I don't know. I haven't followed his day-to-day, but, like, he will disappear for a long step, then have a game-winning RBI. I do have an issue with the Phillies.
Shocker. Are you going to tell us already that it doesn't matter if Philadelphia is a football town?
I think you guys can actually get behind me on this one.
Okay, go.
This is personal, and maybe this isn't for the audience. Does anyone have a slight problem with our former boss, Spike Eskin, all of a sudden becoming Mr. Phillies? Like, we had a boss,
it's a
Spike
baseball,
Eskin.
No pun intended.
Our program director went to Philly to take over the afternoon show, and all of a sudden, every tweet, my phone is blowing up with Spike breaking down every play of the Phillies. He didn't talk about the Phillies once I don't know, Bogus, how long you were for Spike. So that's a personal issue. And I don't want to bring it on air. It is an Odyssey station.
And then
he has this little cohort named Jack Fritz.
We love Jack
Fritz. No, you love Jack Fritz. I don't love Jack Fritz.
We went to the Hustle premiere with Jack Fritz, the movie you were in. Jack came with us. He was a great addition. He was a good hang that night.
No, I'm not a fan.
What?
Why?
Not a fan.
Yeah,
he called me Pirloff on WIP the next day.
Well, sometimes your last name's a little difficult, but, you know, we didn't want to keep going with McLovin. It was going to be tough, trademark issues and such, you know. We
my
had to
last
go with
name
your
is,
name.
You know what? Now you're on my list. You didn't know my name was Perloff? What the?
I didn't realize you had all this pent-up issues with everyone in WIP.
Well, Jack Fritz and I, you know, I tried to get him fired for saying that.
You did.
Spike was with me.
you did go several rungs higher up the ladder than I thought you would for such an easy mistake.
Well, actually,
that's
no.
so common.
Spike was so excited to get Jack fired. Yeah. He's been trying to fire him. He's a co-host on his afternoon show. But generally, yeah, no, no, I have major issues. It's really not Spike. It's, you know, the Phillies fans, and I get it. I get it why you don't like the Phillies fans. Like, they're hot and cold. Like, when things are going well, they're like, oh my God, we're so unbeatable.
Where
but then
are we right now? What is
You're
going on?
You're the poster child for this, Pearl.
Because it's football season. Like, you got to focus on the birds.
Don't worry, they will.
I'll be honest, guys. I kind of see where Perloff's coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's part of the problem, EJ.
He's in the call is coming from inside the house, EJ.
That might be true.
I know, but it is weird to go on my feed and see everyone talking about football and then be like, Castellanos had to run that ball out. I'm like, what? Spike is writing names about people I don't know what he's talking about sometimes. I'm like, who is that guy? What is that guy play for the Eagles? I'm confused. Like, it is weird. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
it is weird.
First of all, they started the season in Brazil. It was odd. It was a Friday night. You got the Phillies are in first place in the NL East. They've been in first place. This is your chance to win a title more than the Eagles, by the way. You got a better shot with the Phillies than you do with the Eagles. I'm going to defend Spike on this one because there's a Japanese proverb that I'm going to butcher.
Yeah.
That's something like a man is whatever room he's standing in. He's now the afternoon drive host in Philly. He's got to talk about the Phillies. He was here as our program director and boss, we were going to have a Phillies conversation with Spike in the hallway. We'd be bored to tears.
I think I know this is inside baseball talking about our former boss, but we've all had this issue in the office or in our lives where there's a fan of a team who feels a little bandwagon-y. Like, oh, all of a sudden
it's
you're talking.
You every day.
Well.
You're the guy.
Is this one finger pointing at you and four pointing back at me? Is this, what's that called, transference?
Yes, you're doing
no,
it.
No, but
you're
I'm
all three Spider-Man.
I'm nakedly bandwagon-ish, but I don't know.
You tried to jump on the Bills bandwagon in segment one.
Somebody's got to jump on the Bills bandwagon.
You're not allowed.
You expect that bandwagon to drive off the road at all times. Somebody's got to keep it straight.
Can we keep a list? Is there like a Google Doc? I know Google Docs are like infinite. I feel like we'd run out of space. All of a sudden, the people at Google would be like, no mas. They just tap out.
It does not compute.
On how many teams Perloff has bandwagoned for.
Well, I think, you know, we work in the sports industry. I become fans of players, like we all do, especially nowadays. So if a guy I really like goes to a team, then I'm going to support that team.
Right, but it's every person. You have to draw the line somewhere. And
that's
also,
not true.
You
that's
have
not
to draw
true. There's
the
like
line
three I don't like.
With people who are direct competitors to your team. You can appreciate them or you can respect them, but you cannot root for them.
But okay.
You cannot root for Dak Prescott.
Let's be real.
That doesn't
Let's
make any sense.
Why? I like Dak Prescott. He's a nice man when I've met him.
You can respect him, but you can't be rooting for his success.
No, when he plays the Eagles, I don't root for him. But let me ask you this question. If you have money riding on a fantasy team and they're going against your team, like that is, I think, the key decision for every sports fan. Are you rooting for your fantasy team? Are you rooting for your bet? Or are you rooting for the home team? I think that's a modern dilemma of every sports fan.
That might be, but I think true fans either don't put players on their team on their fantasy team or only put players on their team on their fantasy team. I think a lot of people have figured out where they are on this years ago.
You really? No, come on. That's pie in the sky. That's idealistic. You're saying true fans are not going to bet or do fantasy stuff, avoid their own team.
I think some fans, I do. I mean, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I begrudgingly picked Devontae Smith in a fantasy draft last week. I don't want to be happy about Eagles success.
Yeah,
but you did do it.
Yeah, because I want to win too.
Right.
But I'm rooting for myself. I'm not rooting for him.
Yeah, we're all selfish at the end of the day.
I had the chance to draft Saquon, totally passed on him and took Jameer Gibbs instead.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at three Giants fans. You guys should all start betting against the Giants heavily.
There's no value there. How are they supposed to get it?
Already am.
I still think there is.
They're already picked to lose in almost every game.
Right. We've been watching. You found them Sunday, so we're 5 weeks ahead of you on this. We got you.
What?
How are you going to bet
Giants,
against them?
Like you just found out that they're bad. We've known they're bad, even though these two guys are wearing Giant shirts. We've been betting against them for years now.
Oh, yeah, the hedge has already happened.
Yeah.
The emotional hedge. It happened years ago.
I don't know. There was a little, like, it seems like there was a little positivity somewhere after Hard Knocks. You liked offseason Hard Knocks. I don't think, like.
Didn't exactly paint the organization.
Yeah. No, I
didn't pick him to win the division because of it.
And by the way, those guys might get fired because of Hard Knocks more expeditiously. Because
2-15 also might.
Well, that might happen. And Belichick out there lurking. But is there another headline? That got totally off the rails.
The Phillies won that game last night, by the way, 9-4. They have an 8-game lead on the Mets and Braves in the East. New York losing in Toronto last night, 6-2. Atlanta thumped Washington, 12-0. Those two teams are tied again for the last NL wildcard spot. And the NFL has confirmed that it is looking into these latest sexual assault allegations against Deshaun Watson, a possible personal conduct policy violation. There is no consideration currently of putting Watson on the commissioner's exempt list since this is not a criminal matter. Guys, back to you.
Oh, how big of them? They're going to look into it. I'd hope so. The allegations are alarming. Might want to look into it. It's fair. 855-212-4227. Okay, Bogus, thank you. Coming up, update for you on Christian McCaffrey. The latest with the Achilles and the calf. This is important for your fantasy teams, as Perloff was talking about, but also for the 49ers. We'll get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perl, we saw the 49ers resounding victory Monday night over the New York Jets. We thought the Jets were this really great offense, but really great defense. And instead, Jordan Mason just absolutely gashed them. And it wasn't even close. 147 yards on 28 carries. But let's turn our attention to Christian McCaffrey, because not only is it a calf, but if you notice, the injury designation also said calf and Achilles. Yeah. So maybe this is a little bit more serious than we may have thought. Could this linger throughout the season? And are we looking at a will he, won't he play week after week after week with McCaffrey?
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but they said they're going to be careful. And obviously, they have every reason to be careful. They don't need him. So just let him heal. McCaffrey had a miracle season last year. He had 16, played the whole season. That never happens with him. So I'm not writing off McCaffrey long-term, because I did earlier. I thought when they traded for him, I'm like, why are they getting that guy? He's hurt all the time. And he showed that he can get a little healthier. I'm not super scared about it. They don't need him. Just play him in week 4. Give him a month rest.
But they don't want to do that, though, right?
Why not?
It doesn't seem like they do. Well, at least the way they're talking about it, and that could be gamesmanship. You know, maybe they just don't want to show exactly. But they're saying once Christian McCaffrey comes back, like Kyle Shanahan's saying, you know, he's going to get the workload. And I don't know if they want to do necessarily this two-headed monster thing. I know they've always said that they want to, like, take a little of the wear and tear off McCaffrey, but it's like, you know, they can't quit him, you know, because of his skill set and how much he brings to the offense. Yes, you have other great weapons on the offense, but McCaffrey even stood out head and shoulders amongst those guys last year in winning Offensive Player of the Year. So I think it's the kind of thing where once they get him back, I think he's back in the game plan.
Yeah, but Shanahan's language was so careful. He was just like, we got to be cautious with him. He said it like 3 times, I think. I don't know. I feel like Shanahan's on board with preserving him.
You think he really wouldn't play till week 4?
Well, I have no idea, but yeah. My sense is like that kind of wasn't. I saw Kyle Shanahan on ESPN. Wasn't he sort of saying, like, setting up to leave him out for week 2? That kind of felt like the message I was getting.
I don't know if I was picking up that same kind of message. Like, I think they feel like they need. They didn't against the Jets. The Jets were they were fantastic against the Jets. I don't know. Again, you're going on the road. You're playing Minnesota. You have Brian Flores. He's really great defensive coordinator and can scheme up some really exotic looking things. So, but maybe it's not this week with San Francisco as a 6-point favorite on the road.
Right. This is a perfect. I mean, okay. This is a perfect time to sit him. Right. Like, they showed that they can win with a different running back. Like, they have. This is the one team that's set up with all these different weapons to sit him. They don't need him.
Well, let's look beyond week 2.
Right.
Do you think that the 49ers can have the type of success that they're looking for, which is Super Bowl and winning it this time, obviously? Do you think they can do that if they don't have McCaffrey consistently?
Absolutely.
I'm not saying save him until the end of the year. You can't put him in bubble wrap. Maybe you could. I don't know if they're going to. Put him in bubble wrap to the end of the year.
I think they should. I mean, yeah, I definitely think they should be super cautious, because they have so many weapons. I mean, listen, they're paying so many weapons.
They're paying him. He's $19 million a year to sit. I don't know.
Right, but they're also paying guys a lot more than him, too, the two receivers. So they have, yeah, we saw it on Monday night. They have so many weapons. They really should be cautious. If what you said where Shanahan can't quit McCaffrey and he's still going to play him a bunch of snaps, that's crazy. Like you, you know, I guess the defense is still TBD because it really wasn't on the field much on Monday night. We don't know how good they're going to be. But you have so many ways to win if you're San Francisco. I mean, you have to be as careful as humanly possible.
Yeah, I just
McCaffrey's not young either.
Well, that part of it,
yeah.
He does have an injury history that, you know, he has avoided, knock on wood, but has avoided, you know, in San Francisco so far, something mm-hmm. major. But was it always going to be, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop a bit on him or waiting for the season that was going to be marred by injury? And how does that end up impacting the 49ers and what they want to do?
Can you answer the question too? Do you think they need him to get where they want to go?
I do. I think there's a reason mm-hmm. why they traded for him, you know, because I said yesterday, I didn't understand the rush to extend him because he is 30 years old. He was already making a lot of money. He was the highest paid player at his position. They added money on top of that and added years. And I didn't understand that. But I get why they traded for him. I do. I'm not someone who's going to say McCaffrey's like worthless because, you know, Jordan Mason had a good game. I think they felt like they needed, while they got production from a lot of different unknown players in that spot, there was a reason they felt like they needed him. And they've had a lot of success with him.
But, yeah, definitely. But they also thought they needed Trey Lance. So I don't even think they always know what they're doing.
they got to bold stuff. I mean, ouch, that's a wound that you just ripped open.
Well, they got to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey. And honestly, I just think they're the one team right now, the way they're set up, and it doesn't always work out this way, but they can afford like an injury to a skill player because there's no other team with this many skill players. The Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey, now Jordan Mason. It's, you know, pick your poison here. They can find ways to keep. I think if Kyle Shanahan wants to play McCaffrey, honestly, if I'm John Lynch, I'd say, like, just give him 3 weeks off. What possible harm is there? I don't think anybody showed in week one that is breathing down their neck in the NFC West. I know Seattle looked a little spicy, but they didn't play anyone. The Rams are already hurt, and the Cardinals are probably not a great team. So San Francisco can be conservative here. If you were running them, wouldn't you put him in bubble wrap?
Well, maybe not at Minnesota. Yes, I think I could probably afford to be conservative there. But then you're at the Rams, then New England, then Arizona and Seattle, then Kansas City. So you have a couple where you can be strategic. You might not need them to win, but then you have three. You're playing three division games mm-hmm. in the first 6 weeks of the season. So I'm not naive to think you have a lot of weapons, but I wouldn't say, I can no doubt win these games without Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, listen, home New England, home Arizona, that's a pretty good situation to sit Christian McCaffrey. Definitely don't give him 30 carries in those games.
No, maybe not. Listen, the thing about Arizona, their defense is not very good right now, but their offense could be something. Marvin Harrison was a non-factor in the opener. Mm-hmm. If he actually, they get a little chemistry and he becomes the weapon that people think, you know, you might find yourself in maybe a little bit of a shootout. I'm not sure.
I saw a stat that Kyler Murray did not complete a pass over 10 air yards on Sunday. Like, James Conner looked great. But other than that, really, do they really scare you? I'm not scared of that team at all, especially against the Niners defense that knows them really well. It doesn't feel like murderer's row to start off. They do have that big game. I know they have a showdown with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's where you want McCaffrey. I think that's kind of a showcase game.
October 20th.
You just have to be smart. You really have to be smart, and you have to fight the instinct of the coach in this situation.
855-212-4227. Christian McCaffrey has got this Achilles tendonitis, I guess. And,
you know, it's funny. Everybody, EJ was saying that he has that too. Like, that's a pretty common thing. It sounds, the word Achilles, you immediately think of Kevin Durant and like worst case scenario.
Yeah, but
I'm not sure the tendonitis. It's what old people like us get.
Yeah. Well, EJ's not old. And by the way, EJ doesn't have to make two jump cuts to try to avoid Jared Verse, you know, who's bearing down on him.
Well, we know.
You've got other issues, EJ,
not
that.
EJ tried to steal third in a kickball game, and therefore it's not here.
But he's going to be back soon. EJ will be back very soon. Coming up, it's Wednesday, a little early. We're going to do the great debate next. Don't move.